Hello.
Good morning, Ricky. I was just messaging you. I was about to say go to ready.
Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. I was gonna get with you on a couple calls I was wanting to go over with you. Had you pulled up any recent QAs?
No, I haven't.
Gotcha.
I don't even know how to pull up QAs anymore.
No. Pull up Internet Explorer and you can go to your agent overview. If you do have any QAs, they would be listed. Hold up. Where's my Internet Explorer? Yeah, so on your agent overview, you would get that pulled up. Doo-doo. And then in the middle section there at the bottom, you would see QA sessions and QA average. Click on the light blue box that would be next to QA sessions. You also can check any time adherence on that as well, where it says check activity. Yeah, click me next to daily activity. But I did want to get with you on just a couple of QAs you had. Let's see. So you had a call for pH balance. It was taken on May 9th, and you got a 70 for this one. What they found on the call, it was a supervisor call. You assisted the customer with a fraud call. You wound up refunding the customer for two charges in full, but the call disposition had been put in as customer service. And with you providing a full refund, the call disposition should have been full refund. I know we had spoken about making sure you are, making sure you're dispositioning all calls instead of just as customer support, because it does take off quite a chunk from, a QA, even if the rest of that call had been handled correctly.
So disposition wrong can give you a 70 on the call.
Well, actually, it was a 70 because they said you had hold time as well, which I had disputed. The hold time was invalid, but it'll come back being an 80, honestly, when it is overturned. Because hold time's 10 points. So the hold time they had listed for that QA, it wasn't correct. So I had sent that back to Perry.
QAs are so annoying. They so flip-floppy.
Sorry?
They're like nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ricky. The audio. Is that your headset?
Yes, it probably is.
Gotcha. What'd you say about QA?
They just nothing. You can go ahead.
Okay. Well, look, if you want to listen to this next call, I do have the recording. It is also from a QA, but it resulted in an auto fail, unfortunately. It was on May 15th. It was for a Gelber Evo Trainer call. So, Ricky, in total, this call was no joke. It was 7 seconds long. And what they mentioned on the QA was where in the call opening, I don't know if you had been speaking before you took yourself on mute. But in the call opening, when you did come to the line, it was mentioned that you did not introduce yourself. You did not state your name. You did open the call, but you called out for the customer immediately after saying hello just once more. And you had not allowed the customer any time to respond before you said you would be disconnecting the call due to no response. And you disconnected the call at 7 seconds. So it did
I did
result.
that on the call.
Yeah, I got the call recording.
Did you send it over?
I will. Hold on 2 seconds. Hold on, I got it right here. Perfect.
Probably I gotta clear all the text.
Give me 2 more seconds, Ricky. That was May 15th. Here we are. Appreciate your patience, sir. That's it there. So for that, all I can advise on that, Ricky, you know, just make sure when you come to the line taking calls that, you know, you make sure your mic is off mute, so everything you are saying can be clearly heard. Make sure you do allow time for the customer to respond. It may be possible that the customer, you know, is on hold so long waiting for somebody to pick up that they've put their phone on speaker and set the phone down. And when you come to the line, if you don't give them time to respond, say if they had been calling in about a charge on their account, trying to figure out where it was coming from, and their first impression of the company would be that, you know, they're coming to answer the line and they get hung up on, you know, it could result in a situation where they may not try to give us a call back. So just make sure you are, you know, spending a little more time in the call opening. Call out for that customer 2 times, and if you don't hear that response, you know, state that you will be disconnecting the call twice due to no customer response, and then you can definitely keep it moving.
Okay.
So there is one more call I do need to go over with you. It's not through a QA, but it was an emailed issue from a customer that you had sent over to the fraud department the other day. Let's see. And it was a PH balance call taken on the 25th. So let me get this pulled up for you real quick. And of course, if you want the call, I'll get it to you. So here's the gist of the PH balance call. Okay, the customer was calling in about a charge on her account. You did ask for her zip code and her name. And when you ran her zip code, it did not pull her name. So then you asked for the spelling of her first and last name. Her name was Candy Hensley. And you put in her first and last name into the system, and funnily enough, it pulled an account. Okay. So you pulled up this account for Ms. Hensley, and she was calling about a charge. You asked her to confirm the address on the account, and the address she had confirmed for the account found under her name, it didn't match what you had. You did ask her to confirm the amount she was billed and the last 4 numbers of the card that she was charged on. So at that point in the call, she stated the last 4 digits of the card she had been billed against, and you're like, well, that card isn't what we have on this account. And the customer, she started to claim fraud. You advised at that point you would go ahead and cancel the account and have her transferred over to the fraud department, and you did so. So the supervisor who took Ms. Hensley's call, she had realized on the account that the card information, it didn't line up to what the customer was saying. So what had happened is the supervisor took the first 6 and the last 4 of the card that Ms. Hensley was charged on, ran it back through Sticky.io, and the account, the correct billing account, was actually found under Ms. Hensley's grandmother's name and address.
Okay, well, she gave me her first and last name, so how am I supposed to know that she has another account under someone else's name. It's not if the information that she provided me pulled up an account.
Good point. So what we want to put out there is this. With so many people in the United States, it's possible, it can be that you can have the same name. So the name shouldn't be the sole relier to verify an account. What we should do, if you're not able to pull with the customer's zip code, name, if they don't have an order number, email, you know, if that information that generally pulls doesn't work, you would have to search using the billed card's first six and last numbers. If that is the only way you're able to pull an account, you should also make sure that the expiration date of the card lines up. That way we make sure that, say, if the name is not correct, the address is not correct, the email is not correct, but that customer's card is being billed, we can be absolutely certain we're handling the correct billing account.
Can I have that call?
Of course. I got it right here. So basically what I would have done if I had that lady on the line, once you had that account pulled up and you were confirming the billing date and she told you the last four numbers of the card she was charged against, I would have been like, you know what, let me take a moment. I'm going to search here with the last four numbers of that card, put it through the system and ask, look, I'm not pulling anything that matches your name, but is there any way either that it's part of a joint bank account or that there may be another name I should be searching for? That way, you can try to cross-reference some information on the account. Hold on one second. Let me get you the call, though. Here we go. Okay, Ricky. Those are the two calls. That first one there, that is the autofail for the Evo Trainer call, and then this emailed issue for the pH balance. Here is just one more thing. Hold on. Okay, so I did want to go over these other two with you for the week ending the 22nd. If it comes up, there is an 85, which I'm going to send in for a dispute. It says that you failed to express enthusiasm. I find absolutely no issue with the call. I don't see the reason for the deduction. It was a Lit Media call, and it came through on the 16th. I have already sent a dispute into Perry for a Supreme call that you had another autofail for. They had marked it as customer didn't respond, but it was just another call, a dead air call with no one on the line, and you did handle it properly. So that one will come back as 100 as well.
Okay.
So let me get this pulled up. Okay, so look, I do want to let you know this, because the last time the developmental coaching, it was on similar issues about using all search criteria. with this emailed issue, the pH balance call, you did attempt several methods to try and verify that account. So this is going to be a follow-up email for this issue specifically for the pH balance account, where you would just make sure, absolutely sure, that you're handling the correct billed account. If the billing information, if that card on the account doesn't line up to what the customer is calling in reference to, you know, just make sure you don't make any adjustments to it.
Okay.
Review those calls, okay? And if you have any questions or concerns or anything you want to review further on it, let me know.
Okay.
Anything else while I got you, Ricky?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time, and I hope you have a good day, okay?
You too.
Thank you.